You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. Today I'm going to be covering the monthly Bureau of Labor Statistics employment situation report that came out this morning at 8:30. But before I do that, I really want to have a few comments on what's happening in both Israel and what's happening in Washington, D.C. Regarding Israel, it's abundantly clear to anyone on the outside that Hamas does not want to agree to any peace agreement, or for that matter, a ceasefire. And there's a reason for it, and this needs to be said and said over and over again. Hamas literally wants to destroy the state of Israel and all the Israelis. I mean, kill them. They want to wipe them off the face of the earth. That's why they have continually launched military actions, including rockets, thousands of rockets over the years. And that's why they dig these tunnels to pop up and then kill Israelis. Now, the Israelis have shown patience beyond what I think is really fair. Because I'm getting the sense that the media in this country, their television networks, including the president, are supporting Hamas. And Hamas is not playing along. How many ceasefires have they broken so far? Several. And I applaud what the Israelis are doing. Now, the Israelis say they don't want to destroy Hamas. I would say, please destroy them. They're thugs. It's a terrorist organization. Why the Secretary of State and the President of the United States would side with these thugs is beyond me. Now, he won't come out and say that, but he has a history of siding with the Palestinians. And I don't want to get into the history, but that's what you need to understand. And I think the Israelis are fully justified in doing what they're doing. Yes, you're going to have innocent civilians killed. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Think about World War I. Think about World War II. Hundreds of thousands, millions of innocent civilians were killed by both sides. That is the nature of war. Apparently, we have a president and secretary of state that don't understand that. And when the only way you negotiate, you got to have two parties to agree that there's a middle ground, and there is no middle ground here. Hamas literally wants to wipe the state of Israel off the map and kill every Jew or Israeli that they can, and if there are any Americans there, they'll kill them as well. That's why they're considered a terrorist organization, and they are supported by Iran. So I hope the Israeli Defense Forces destroy Hamas completely. And I don't care if it takes a week or two or three or 4 months or however long it takes. And I think the Israeli government, the Israeli people, have come to that conclusion. And they're the ones that are fighting this war and dying in that war. It is regrettable that civilians are dying. But do I need to remind you that the United States government killed hundreds of thousands of Japanese and German civilians when they bombed them, firebombed them? We did. And guess what? The Japanese and Germans would do the same thing to the United States if they had the power. And it took a war and the annihilation of most of the Nazis and the people that were heading the war effort in Japan, and many of them were hung, if not shot. There's no, to quote Douglas MacArthur, there's no substitute for victory. And you don't have a peace treaty until one side is totally defeated. We have an administration and a secretary of state that seem to have forgotten that important point. And it's somewhat surprising, you know, that Secretary of State John Kerry fought in Vietnam. You would think he would learn that lesson. And it wasn't, you know, my view of the Vietnam War, we shouldn't have been in it. It was a mistake. But who initiated this mistake? It was President Johnson and the liberals in Congress. And what did they do? We really won the war in Vietnam only to lose it because of liberal Democrats, now they call themselves progressives, not supporting Vietnam. We pulled the rug out from underneath them. See, I don't believe in government intervention abroad to build democracies, an active, aggressive United States. Every time we do this, what happens? We only create more and more enemies of the American people and the United States. We should stay out, and that is what the American people sadly are now concluding, both about Iraq and Afghanistan. A lot of blood, a lot of Americans were killed, and a lot of treasure was spent in those two nations. For what? For what? And that's what the American people are asking. Now, there are politicians, both in the Democrat and the Republican Party, that are what I call interventionist. In the Republican Party, they largely go under the name of neoconservative. They are very much interventionist and want the United States to intervene abroad. Whether it's Syria, Iraq, Libya, you name the country, there's not a war that they're not beating the drums on. It's seldom that their sons and daughters are fighting that war. But the American people are wising up and saying, we're not going to do that anymore. Stay out. Mind our own business. Now, they call me an isolationist. I'm not an isolationist. I support the Constitution, and the Constitution says Congress and only Congress can declare war. Yet we have presidents after presidents, both Democrats and Republicans, intervene abroad. And the net result is we've wasted tons of money. Trillions of dollars of money have been spent. And Americans have died and been seriously wounded. For what? For what? Do these people love us in the Middle East? No, we're hated in the Middle East by the Iraqis and, truth be known, the Saudis that are supposedly your allies. We are a superpower, and we intervene. And what needs to be said, we've killed hundreds of thousands. Yet we have the major media in this country. You would think that Israel started this. You really would think it, listening to them. They're that bad. Israel is defending itself against an enemy that wishes them nothing but death and annihilation. And I salute their efforts, and I hope they're successful in totally destroying Hamas. The day that Hamas is dead will be a day of celebration, not only in Israel, but throughout many countries in the Middle East, as well as the United States. Because if you truly are concerned about the welfare and prosperity of the Palestinians, Hamas has been totally destroying their interest by rocketing into Israel. And at some point, the Israelis, and they knew this, and this is what they were trying to do, will retaliate. They will defend themselves. And yes, the numbers are disproportionate. But what does Hamas do? They put the launching sites. They put the ammunition. They put their people mixed in with civilians, intentionally doing it. They don't have separate military bases or separate military sites, or separate launching pads. They literally put them in apartments, in homes, and near hospitals, in their command bunker under a hospital, deliberately trying to provoke Israel into defending themselves. And when Israel does, by attacking them, who gets blamed? Israel, if you listen to the major television networks. Give me a break. And keep John Kerry home. That idiot actually thinks that the major threat to the world is global warming. Anyone that believes that should not be Secretary of State. He's an idiot. No way to sugarcoat it. He's an idiot. And he's meddling. And he's truly taking the side of Hamas. It turns my stomach. Bring him home and keep him home. You're not going to get any agreement on peace between Israel and Palestine until the other side will agree that the state of Israel will exist. And as long as, whether it's Hamas or the Palestinian Authority, hold out for this utopian view that at some point in time they'll be able to push the Israelis into the sea, you're never going to get a settlement. The Israelis aren't going to commit suicide. They're going to defend themselves. It's a life and death struggle. I'm tired of hearing the biased news on CNN and the other major television networks. They try to be balanced, but they really aren't. And get some people that have some historical perspective and know what's going on and know the history. So I had to at least give my 2 cents, for what it's worth, on what's happening in Israel. The last so-called ceasefire lasted less than 2 hours, about 90 minutes. And Hamas has broken one after the other. At some point, you stay home. You can't negotiate with people. You're always going to get... I used to negotiate contracts for the Air Force, as well as for a major defense contractor. Now, this was between I was on both sides. I was both on the government side when I was negotiating with another major defense contractor, and when I got out of the Air Force, I got on the other side, as well as negotiating with foreign governments. There was always a middle position. In other words, there were issues that I had to compromise either for the Air Force or the company I was representing. Likewise, whoever was on the other side of the negotiation had to compromise. I'm not saying it was in the middle. Sometimes I won, sometimes they won, depending on your point of view. But we had a middle ground, and that's an essential point of any negotiation. Is there a middle ground? Is there some point that both parties can agree to, some position, whether it's on the terms of conditions or the price when you're talking about negotiating contract. The same applies when you're trying to negotiate either a ceasefire or a peace agreement. And where you have one side insisting on certain things happening that the other side would be crazy to agree to, you don't have any grounds to negotiate. And you're wasting your time trying to do it. I don't know who he used to be a senator, Kerry, is trying to impress, but he's not impressing me. I think he's a fool, a meddling fool. And Obama should restrain him and keep him home. Don't go back. Hamas is the enemy of the United States. They're on our terrorist list, and we're negotiating for them? I think we should be on the side of Israel and urging them to destroy Hamas. Rather a hawkish position, but that's a decision the Israelis have to make and will make. Yes, they would like to have the support of the United States, but they don't seem to be getting it. If anything, the United States government, from what I'm reading in terms of what Kerry has been doing, has been on the side of Hamas, taking positions that really you would think that this is an offer from Hamas. So I hope, like I said, I really don't want anyone to die, whether it's an Israeli or a Palestinian. But as long as you have one party not willing at all to really put down their arms and surrender, or at least stop the rocketing, there's no middle ground. They're fighting to die. They're the ones that are sending suicide bombers into Israel. That's who you're dealing with. And when you're dealing with that type of person, it's killed or be killed. And the Israelis are finally taking the gloves off and killing Hamas. And unfortunately, you're having a lot of civilians, children, women, and men that are not involved in the war being killed because Hamas is deliberately making sure they're being killed, because they launch a PR, public relations campaign, where they continually look at all the dead Palestinians that the Israelis are killing. Why are the Israelis killing them? Because they've launched thousands and thousands of rockets into Israel trying to kill Israelis. It's a matter of self-defense. And it's about time, really, that we go after Hamas. And it's really about time that the United States pick a side, and not the wrong side, not a terrorist organization. And my remarks apply to both the president and the secretary of state. They've actually made, in my opinion, the situation a lot worse. John Kerry should have stayed home. He's a meddler and, frankly, a fool, and the Israelis understand that, and they've had it up to here with John Kerry and President Barack Obama. And that's what an independent nation will do. So I salute the Israelis, I salute the Israeli Defense Forces, and I hope they win and put to rest Hamas. They can't say that, but I have a suspicion that's what they're doing. And as long as Hamas won't agree to stop the rocketing, stop the tunneling, then they deserve what they get. It's time for our leadership to grow up and get some perspective and stop taking sides. Let the Israelis and the Palestinians fight it out. And if Hamas is what the Palestinians want, and I don't believe they do, yes, there's some that support Hamas. And let me say this, what you're not hearing very much of, there are many Arabs that wish Hamas would go away, even though historically it's been the Arabs against the Israelis, hundreds of millions against a few million. Who has prospered? The Israelis have prospered. Who has not prospered? The Palestinians, the Egyptians. Both of their economies are basket cases. The problem is you have religious fanatics. And fanatics do what fanatics do. They kill people. Well, enough said about the situation in the Middle East. I'm looking at the time, and I might not get to the unemployment report, but I'll say a few words on what's happening in Washington. I thought that Congress, namely both the Senate and the House, was going to go home last night or today. That didn't happen in terms of the House because they're trying to pass a bill. But what's really going on? Let's cut to the chase. And I've warned you about this in earlier shows. The Democratic Party wants open borders. And I summarize their position, the more the merrier. And they want it for one reason only. It's politics. Really, both parties want this for political reasons. For the Democratic Party, they look at every illegal alien into this country as a future Democratic voter. That's why they want open borders. They want as many illegal aliens to come to the United States as possible, and then over a period of time, whether it's 5 years, 10 years, or even 20 years, they become citizens, and as they become citizens, at least 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 will be Democratic voters or future Democratic voters. That's what they want, and that's what they say they want. Not hard to understand. What have they disregarded? They have disregarded the will and the concerns of the American people and the American worker. Who does it hurt, what the Democratic Party is doing? It hurts unskilled and really uneducated whites, blacks, and Hispanics, primarily the young, who can't find jobs. Or to the extent that they can find jobs, it's part-time. Why? You have at least, not 11 to 12 million illegal aliens here. You have somewhere between 30 and 50 million. And that's based on the fact that over the last 15 to 20 years, the Border Patrol, U.S. Border Patrol, has apprehended around 1 million illegal aliens every year. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's less. And under the Obama administration, it has been less. But for every one they apprehend, and we're talking 1 million here, 3 to 5 million get away. And when you factor in 1 million of them go home, what you're talking about is somewhere between 2 and 4 million illegal aliens entering into the United States every year for the last 15 years. So you don't have 11 or 12 million. You have anywhere between 30 to 50 million and maybe more. I don't know the real number. The point is it's not 11 or 12. I'm telling you this because the American people need to wake up to it. Now, if you believe the 11 or 12 million number, the same outfit that puts that out says that at least 8 million are working here. So we just got the unemployment report that says there are 9.7 million Americans unemployed. That understates it, but let's just accept that as a number. If the 8 million illegal aliens are here were sent home, in other words, the immigration laws were enforced, you would have a lot less unemployed Americans. I don't think it's the total solution, but a significant number, and we're talking millions of Americans, would be employed. Now, I don't think it's 8 million. I really think it's over 20 million illegal aliens are working here. And when you add up the unemployed, the people that are employed at part-time jobs and discouraged workers, you're right around 19 to 20 million. So one way to solve, or at least go a long way to solving the unemployment situation in the United States, is to enforce the immigration laws. That's what needs to happen. I think Americans come first. The American workers come first. People that were born, raised, and educated in the United States come first. I am tired of all this concern about illegal aliens and undocumented workers. Try to go work in Mexico and see what happens. They'll throw you in jail and deport you. But under U.S. immigration law, that's what should be happening. They should be deported and removed to their country of origin. So a lot of our unemployment problems would go away. Many of our young that can't find jobs, teenagers, can't find their first-time job, whether they're black, Hispanic, white, can't find jobs, would find jobs because they would be available. And that is a fact. What are we talking about in terms of jobs? Gardeners, janitors, maintenance men, busboys, short order cooks, waitresses, people that work at fast food restaurants, construction, meat packing, plucking chickens. Those are some of the jobs that illegal aliens today do. That's just a partial list. But every one of those jobs in the past and even today are done by American citizens. And American citizens should come first. Now, what's happening? The Democrats, like I said, it's more the merrier. They want to open the borders. Don't defend the U.S.-Mexican border at all. If you can get to the United States, you can get a job, because we're not going to enforce immigration law in the interior of the United States. And I happen to sit in a city that's one of the worst offenders, Dallas. Because most of these illegal aliens are going to about 6 to 10 states. And that's Texas, California, New York, New Jersey, Washington, North Carolina, Georgia, and yes, Illinois. And I probably forgot one or two. But those are the leading states that have the highest percent in terms of illegal aliens from Central America and Mexico. That's where they go. Most of the states, upwards of 40 states, yes, they have some illegal aliens, but really it's not a major problem. It is only in those 10 states that the vast majority of illegal aliens are there, and they go to the major cities. Why? To find jobs. It's not hard to understand why they're doing this. The majority are doing this to find jobs. And they're finding jobs because employers are taking advantage of the fact that they're very compliant and they're hardworking. They're compliant. In other words, they don't give you any lip. And they accept wages much below what American citizens could get. And you have employers and their groups in Washington, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and their supporters in the media, including the Wall Street Journal, that advocate for open borders. And really what they advocate for is giving citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are here. It's not 11 or 12. It's more like 30 to 50 million. And what they also want to do is increase the amount of legal immigration from over a million, which it is currently, which most Americans think is excessive, and they want to increase it to 2 million a year to 3 million a year over the next 10 years. That's just another reason why it's somewhere between 30 and 50 million. They want to give citizenship and the right to work to the people that are here and the people that can get here in the near future. That's what they're about, and that's what the Democrats want. What the Republicans want are campaign contributions from those very businesses that want the illegal aliens here. But the Republicans have another problem. Their political base, especially the conservatives, libertarians, people that are pro-Constitution, know that it's the federal government's responsibility to stop any invasion of the country. And I think when you have somewhere between 30 to 50 million illegal aliens coming across the border in the last 15 to 20 years, that's an invasion. Now, I need to quickly say, not everyone comes across the U.S.-Mexican border. They're also flying here legally, and they have visas if they're required to have it. If you're from Europe, you don't need a visa. And they're primarily here for education, tourists, or doing business, but many of them stay. They overstay their visa. And that's the other part of the illegal alien situation. Note, I didn't say illegal immigrants.
The only immigrants that are legal come here the right way. And it typically takes 5 to 10 years or longer, and there's a process in place, and that is the true pathway to citizenship. It's not breaking into the United States as a country, and it's not getting fraudulent documents, and it's not working here illegally. All of those are crimes. I don't want any citizen or a future citizen to be an illegal alien. I'm very clear about that. If you come to this country illegally and consistently break the crime, you don't reward crime. You punish crime, and you punish crime by sending these people back. I don't care if they're children, teenagers, members of gangs, or drug cartels. You send them back. You enforce the law, and that is what the American people have been saying for decades. Enforce the immigration law, and that is the Republican Party's problem, because their political base, which includes the American people, believe it or not, are demanding the enforcement of immigration law. And they've been demanding it year after year after year. Yet we have a leadership in the Republican Party that wants campaign contributions so they can get reelected. And what they try to do is deceive the American people into believing that they want to enforce the law when they don't. You see, the Republican Party leadership has a big problem. Many of the large corporations and their lobbyists and organizations like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce want legislation that allows tens of millions of illegal aliens to work in this country and eventually become citizens. That's what they want. And unfortunately, they have a significant number of both senators and people in the House that will do their bidding. So the Republican leadership wants the American people to be deceived into believing that they're really trying to stop this invasion from Central America of teenagers. That's only part of the problem. It's really only part of the problem. They don't. And they're glad the Democrats caused this problem because they can blame the problem on the president, and that the president should take the blame. Because what really started this invasion was the fact that he went on to the White House lawn on June 15th, 2012, and gave the children of illegal aliens a two-year period where they won't be deported, the so-called Dreamers. And this is, you'll hear in the news, DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Let me explain who they are. You have illegal aliens that came to the United States or working in the United States, either brought their children with them or had children in the United States. Now, by law, those illegal aliens should be deported, and their children should be deported. And we have to end this other point that's not brought up. Most countries around the world, the United States is one of the few, but most countries, just because you have a child in the country doesn't automatically make them a citizen. And that's what I'm in favor of. What they typically do is come here when they're already pregnant or about ready to deliver, have the kid in the United States so the kid automatically gets U.S. citizenship. Or they come here, get pregnant, and the kid gets citizenship. That's not the way it is around the world at all. And that needs to stop, the so-called anchor babies. And that needs to be passed. Good luck on that one. You see, the problem is both political parties are trying to fool the American people, and the American people are waking up to it, and they're protesting, and they're pushing back. That's what's happening in Washington, D.C. The Republicans are trying to pass some bill out of the House to give the impression to the base that they're fighting illegal immigration when they're really doing nothing of the kind. Because if they were truly fighting for illegal immigration, what would they be doing? They would be demanding that every illegal alien in the United States be deported. In other words, enforce the law. If they came out and said that, the American people would stand up and cheer and reelect them. Instead, they're more concerned about getting reelected, and to do that, they need money from major campaign contributors. And that's who they're trying to please. Remember, to be successful in politics, you need, I call it mama, you need money, organization, message, momentum, and ambition. And what the Republican Party does, as well as the Democratic Party, is put money ahead of their voters, or the American people and the American worker, and both parties are guilty of it. Now, the Democratic Party is doing it because if they can trick the Republicans into doing it, they win for They'll hold the presidency for the next 100 years. The American people are resisting it. Why? Because who gets hurt? It's the existing Americans. It's their children and grandchildren as well as themselves. And I'll spend the last 4 or 5 minutes on the unemployment situation. The unemployment rate went up from 6.1% to 6.2%, and the number of jobs created in terms of non-farm payroll was at 209,000. Now, let me point out something. The U3 rate, which that is, understates it, because you have literally millions of Americans that are taking part-time jobs because they can't find full-time jobs. You also have the problem of discouraged workers that have continually looked for a job and can't find it. And part of that is the illegal alien situation. But that's just part of it. You need an economy that's growing at over 3%, which is the historical rate. You need it growing at 4%, 5%, or 6%. Today, the United States economy is growing a little over 2% on average. Actually, right now, it's less. I know the report came out at 4%. But most economists are saying that the economy this year will grow about 2%. 2% is under the trend line. What we need created is not 209,000 a month. We need 400,000 or 500,000 a month. And you're only going to get that if the U.S. economy is growing at rates of 4%, 5%, or 6%. Now, how do you get rates of 4%, 5%, or 6%? One is you don't continually raise taxes, you don't continually add regulations, and you don't continually intervene in the economy a la Obamacare. In other words, you do the exact opposite of what the Democratic Party has been doing for the last, really, since they got into power in 2006. Now, I know they've lost the House, but that's what it's going to take. So as long as we have the continued failed policies of this president of the Democratic Party, and we have deficits after deficits piling on more and more debt, we're going to have a stagnating economy, and that's exactly what we have. We have a stagnating economy. We're really going about two-thirds of speed. Actually, that's a little optimistic. We're really growing about half speed. We should be growing at 4%, 5%, 6%, and we're not. That's why this is the worst economic recovery since World War II. And that's why the unemployment rate has been persistently above 6%. Now, it's turning around and going higher. I don't really put much credence in 1 month's worth of statistics because these numbers have a real error rate, a sampling error rate. Remember, these are based on two surveys, one of households, roughly 60,000 households, and the establishment survey of roughly 450,000 employers in the United States, both businesses as well as government. So you have errors to it. You want to look at the trend. And the problem is, yeah, we're growing. No denying we're growing. And no denying the unemployment rate is coming down. But, and this, I need to be fair. We actually had a milestone reached. I've said on previous shows that the highest employment level that the United States reached was in November of 2007, when it reached 146.6 million. Well, I want to congratulate President Obama, because in June, ladies and gentlemen, and May, because they did a revision, we finally got back to that number after 78 months. It took 78 months of failed economic policies to get back to November of 2007. That's why we have a stagnating economy. That's why this is the worst recovery. And you see it in the unemployment numbers. Now, I'm looking at the clock and my time has run out. And I know my audio engineer would like to go home. So let me wish you a good weekend and play my closing music, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We are the voice of Richland College. Thank you for listening and have a great weekend.